Sweet Sweet Garbage is a podcast in which two women, Jenna Redding and Bailey Von Schneider, take a look back at some of their favorite garbage films and television. Knowing them as we do, we have to ask the question, why do they find themselves enamored with this trash? Not only that, why do we ourselves root for the problematic woman? We love a good crazy stalker, male or female. Why is Bailey okay with the idea of Penn Badgley stalking her? Why does Jenna want to single white female every person she meets? Can they be feminists and still enjoy these indulgences? Let's find out.
Hey everybody, welcome back for our last sort of horror type movie. I mean, this one is very much a horror film. We are going to tackle one of my absolute favorite, not just like horror movies, but like I think maybe one of my like top 10 favorite films. We're going to be talking about 1996 Scream. And for our listeners who haven't seen the movie, I don't know what's wrong with you, just see it. You want to tell those people a little bit about it, Jenna?
Yeah, so a little synopsis we've got here is, a year after the murder of her mother, a teenage girl is terrorized by a new killer who targets the girl and her friends by using horror films as part of a deadly game.
It's directed by like horror legend Wes Craven, you know, like Nightmare on Elm Street, The Hills Have Eyes, like true horror legend. And I think that the first one is pretty, it's far and away the best of the four. Now potentially, well, not potentially, they're like making a fifth one, which upsets me, because how do you make Scream without Wes Craven? But like, how do you continue the Scream? Like, he even made Scream 3, which is, I love Scream 3. Like, I don't care what anybody says. I love Scream 3. It's campy. It's a good ass time. I enjoy it.
I didn't know that he was not going to be a part of it. That, well, yeah, that dead, sucks.
So.
Oh. Yeah. You're right. Oh my God, he is.
I know, and it's unfortunate.
I think I was like thinking John Carpenter, because John Carpenter's still alive,
yes,
right?
Yes, Carpenter's alive. Craven, unfortunately, is not. But when he was alive, he made brilliant, and not even just I think he had one film that wasn't sort of in the horror genre. I mean, it wasn't in the horror genre. It was Music of the Heart with Meryl Streep. And he directed Meryl Streep to many of her Academy Award performances. Like, she seems to just be in a movie and gets nominated for an Academy Award. So this movie was not unlike that. But that was the only time he really tackled outside of his genre. Like, he knew his genre. And he didn't just, like, make a... He made, like... brilliant horror films.
Oh, for sure.
I'm like huge Westworld. The day like I followed him on Twitter, and when he died, I was like so sad. I was like,
no, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I just completely. I didn't know he was dead. That's crazy. And yeah, so getting into like the first scene, that it's like super famous at this point, but you know, Drew Barrymore, she is at home and she's, you know, like making popcorn and, you know, she's just like hanging out at her house and she gets a phone call, you know, and it's this like creepy ass voice. And I don't know, like, I guess like she probably like, it's always like been like kind of funny to me that she like stays on the phone as long as she does.
I know, right?
Because like literally, I mean, first of all, I never answer my phone, like literally... never.
Yeah, well, this was like apparently caller ID, because like it wasn't really a thing yet, but apparently like right after this movie came out, like everybody was like, we need caller ID so we don't get murdered like Casey.
right. But the thing is, like, the dude seems right off the bat to be kind of creepy.
Oh yeah.
Like, if I heard someone who like is clearly distorting their voice, I'd be like, no. Even if I thought it was just a prank.
The dude's real voice, though. Like, that's, like, not a... Like, what's really interesting about this movie is that's, like, not a voice distorter. That's, like...
I didn't know that.
That's a dude's voice. Like, that... Yeah. Like, that's the... the gentleman's... Like, he's done all of them. Like, he's... And he's just credited as the voice, phone voice. And his name's Roger Jackson. And that's his, like, actual voice. And supposedly, they actually... like, had all of that happen in real time. So, like, they had him so, like, they could, like, truly react to his voice. And they had, like, never heard his voice. But, like, that's, yeah, that's, like, the dude's real voice.
I had no idea. That's insane.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, that is kind of, like, the, you think that's what's going on. Because when you find out who is the, you know, who's doing all of the killing. But I hadn't, that's wild to me.
Yeah, like that's an actual voice, which I think is so cool. Like they found such a creepy voice.
No, it's the perfect voice for sure. And also too, well, now I'm just thinking like, is that guy like when he like talks to his wife, like, you know, just like asking, like her asking him to go to the grocery store and him, you know, him being like, okay, darling, or whatever.
Okay.
I'll go pick up milk. You know, it's just like, like my like skin feels like it's crawling.
Yeah, because we're like so used to that voice being associated with like these, with this film franchise.
Right. but yeah, no, so she's, but so he's like talking to her and, you know, he's just like asking kind of like benign questions at first, but like it starts, I mean, to me, I mean, again, we've like, we've grown up on horror movies. So like, I guess we're always on guard, but, you know, she's talking to him for like a little bit and is just like, oh yeah, like
she's kind of what's up? Like she's with him when he's like, do you have a boyfriend? She's like, no. Like she's kind of like into it because she thinks it's innocent. Like the last thing she's thinking about, she's just like, I'm 17, I'm hot, this guy's voice is like intriguing, like I don't know who it is, but like what's the harm in kind of playfully flirting with him? And I think that's sort of like Casey's mindset in this opening scene.
Right, right. And then, but then like things go south like real quick because like there's that line, that line he has where he's just like a casual drop where it's like clear he's like watching her.
Oh yeah, I want to see what you look like, yeah.
Yeah, and then, God, because she's just like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean? And then,
then it really, like, turns from there.
Yeah, and it's super creepy, but, basically.
Yeah, he says, like, because I want to know who I'm looking at. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And then she's like, what did you say? And then he stops, and he's like, I just want to know who I'm talking to. And, like, she knows. She's like, that's not what you said. And he's like, what do you think I said? And she's like, all right, I gotta go. Like, this guy is creepy as shit. Like, and then it escalates into the whole, like, if you hang up on me, you little bitch, I'm gonna cut you like a fish. And then it really turns into, like, that sinister. So by, like, literally 2 minutes into this movie, it's, you know, like, that's the beauty about this opening scene is it, like, sets the tone for this movie and it establishes you're in this horror movie and this girl, like, is not going to survive. Like, you think that it's Drew Barrymore and she, like, has to live because they marketed this movie brilliantly with us believing that Drew Barrymore is our main protagonist. Like, she is our final girl, because why wouldn't she be? She was so popular then at that time. So, yeah, knowing that, like, Drew is not the final girl also just, like, sets this, makes this, like, opening scene, like, that much more. The opening scene would have worked well anyways because it's brilliantly written, but getting Drew Barrymore just, like, heightens it, especially in, like, 96, you know?
Well, it's definitely, it's, like, that thing, we've talked about this before, I think, but, like, you know, that whole thing in Psycho, it's, like, that, like, to 1,000, because, you know, in Psycho, Marion Crane is, like, in the first 25 minutes. In this, Drew Barrymore is in it for the first 5 minutes and then is just violently killed. Like, so, like, I remember watching this at a slumber party when I was, like, 11. And, like, it scared the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah, no, this movie, one of my, like, when I was younger, like, one of my best girlfriends was, like, weirdly obsessed with Neve Campbell. I was like, okay, of all the people you could be obsessed with, she was, like, obsessed with Neve Campbell.
That's hilarious.
So I was like, okay. To this day, I have no idea. She's, like, married with, like, 3 kids now. I'm always like, I wonder, is she still super into Neve Campbell?
Yeah, I know,
like, when we were, like, young, she was, like, super into Neve Campbell. So, like, Nev Campbell, you had a number one hardcore fan of her, so good for you, Nev Campbell. Yeah. But yeah, I saw this movie, like, way too young, of course. But, like, she's enthralled with Nev Campbell, and I'm just like, this movie's so good. Like, forget Nev Campbell. This movie's amazing.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, there's definitely that switcheroo. So, you definitely think Drew Barrymore is going to be the lead of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then it's really shocking, like, for her to go like she does. Because, like I said, it's, like, super violent. Her parents get home, like, it seems like 2 minutes later. So it's just, like, insanely shitty timing.
Yeah, it was, like, one of those, like, I think that's what makes it all the more tragic, is it was, like, so close to survive. There were so many moments where you're like, oh, she could survive. Like, there's a moment where he just straight up, like, loses her. Like, he has no fucking idea, like, where she is. He's, like, at a loss. And then, like, and you're like, oh, shit, maybe she'll, like, and you're like, no. And then he gets her, and he stabs her, and, like, she's able to, like, see who it is. And he keeps stabbing her, and then, like, her parents can hear it on the phone, because they come in and, like, pick up the phone to call 911, because they're like, yo, like, the popcorn's, like, straight up burning in our house. Like, where the hell is Casey? Like, let's pick up the phone, and then the mom can, like, hear her. But, like, as much as I love the beginning of this movie, timing doesn't make sense in, like, any horror movie. But the fact is that, like, they can hear her, like, dying on the phone, but yet he has time to kill her and, like, hang her up on a tree and then slice her, like, guts out, like, in the time that it takes the mom to be like, Casey, baby, where are you? Look out to her, like, left, and holy shit, like, she's hung up, she's, like, dangling from a tree, and it's like, how did you have the time to do this? But I'll suspend reality.
Right. It's all like, man, no, just the artistic flourish of this killer. This is crazy. Could have just left her on the... She could have just left her on the ground, but no, he had to, like, really make a statement.
Of course, we have no idea what the motivation of this killer is, like, until we get to the end, but then I always think that, like, the motivation to kill Casey was such a, like, a white dude, like, you cheat on me, I'm gonna murder you. Like, that's literally the whole motivation to killing Casey. Like, we get this great opening, but, like, Casey felt like... like, it felt like there was a mission to, like, sort of torture, like, for us to torture Sydney, but Casey was sort of just, like, Stu being like, you know what, we're gonna set a message, we're gonna, like, scare the whole town, like, just, like, let me kill my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, like, well, that's the thing, so we'll get into, like, the killers, but, like... Mm-hmm. It really is just, like, these, like, two straight white dudes being fucking awful. And it's like, oh, God. They play it so well. They do play it really well. But, like...
Which is hysterical because I feel, like, because Kevin Williamson himself is a queer man. So I feel like he was just writing this being like, ladies, look at how awful straight white dudes are.
Yeah. Like, look at your choices.
And you're like, God damn. Like, I wish I could actually have a choice. Like, God damn sexuality. It's like, you know, but, like, him just being like, look at how awful straight white dudes are. I feel like that's literally, like, what he did with this script.
Right. So yeah, you go into it, and again, like, now at this point, you're, like, shocked because, you know, it's, you don't know now who or what, like, I feel like with Sydney, like, there was even a moment where I was like, okay, wait, is she the, I mean, again, not so much this time, but, I think when I was first watching it, you know, and you're getting to know Sydney, I was like, oh, so she's the lead? That's interesting. Not anything to do with, like, the character or Nev Campbell, but...
No. I like Nev Campbell in this.
But, like, you know, you had the charisma of Drew Barrymore for the first 5 minutes, and then you're like, oh, you're the lead. Okay, let's just recalibrate here for a second.
we just had Drew Barrymore. And that's interesting because, like, Sydney is kind of... boring.
Right.
Like, I feel like all of the characters that surround her, and it's not that she's not developed, because I think she's developed enough. Like, we learn so much about her. I think we learn why she's boring. And it's because, like, her mother died, like, a year ago. And my favorite part of this whole movie is when Skeet Ulrich is like, oh, your mom died. Like, it was a year ago. Like, get over it. My mom left me. And then, like, she's like, dude, your mom fucking left you. My mom is, like, lying dead in a coffin. And it was a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's all about he just wants his girlfriend back. Like, he wants, like, the fun-loving girl that, like, he was dating that was, like, just ready to, like, fuck him, like, after, like, a month. And then her mom dies. And she's, like, a little, you know, like, emotionally, like, I don't know, like,
again,
withdrawn.
Mini shit.
Yeah. So, like, another one of Kevin Williamson's being like, look at this awful dude. Like, he writes awful men in this, but it, like, it's outside of, like, Randy. He writes terrible men, but, like, I think he writes realistic terrible men.
Right.
Like, he wrote realistic teenage boys that just also had the intent of murder, really.
Right, right. So that's what, yeah, no, us finding that out was also, like, really shocking, too, though, because I don't think I had ever seen anything where, like, teenagers, I mean, obviously, we've seen movies where teenagers are the focus, but, like, more mm-hmm. that, like, you know, like, the teenagers are also, like, the villains, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I've seen anything like that, even, like, true. Since, you know? Because, yeah, I mean, We'll just, you know, spoiler alert, obviously, but it turns out that Skeet Ulrich and Matthew Lillard, they're the killers. And it's interesting, like, knowing that and then going back and seeing it again because, like, trying to, like, figure out the clues and stuff.
Yeah, I really wish I could remember what it was like seeing it for the first time because I've seen it so many times and, like, I obviously know where it's going, but I love it so much that I, like, literally don't care. But I wish I could remember, like, trying to put the pieces together and figuring out who the killer or killers are and being, was I, like, I just don't really recall. Like, I think I was so, it happened so long ago. Was I shocked? Was I, like, oh, I could see this coming? Like, I'm still really not sure, like, what my initial reaction was, and I wish I could remember what it was.
Yeah. No, I remember being shocked because, I mean, I guess, like, at the time, like, the ferociousness of the violence, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I, like, would have thought that a teenager would do that.
Yeah.
Obviously now, though, like, everybody is fucking terrifying. And, like, I think everybody is capable of everything. And then, like, the thing is, you know, they go into their motivation. And it is, again, because they're so awful, you're just like, dude, what the hell? Like, you need a therapist. Like,
yeah.
This whole thing with, like, your mom and, like, all of this, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's, you find out, like, so the whole thing is, like, we learn that Sydney's mom died a year earlier, but we learn that she was brutally murdered, and it became, like, a national sensation. Like, because this is, like, small town, like, Northern California, like, sleepy little Woodsboro, nothing scary happens here, and boom, this, like, this seemingly perfect wife and mother is just butchered.
Right. And then you find out, you find out, like, about her past a little bit. You find out mm-hmm. she was, like, unfaithful to her husband. And, you know, whatever. Like, again, that's, it's and just one of those things.
We also learn that Sydney placed Cotton Weary, played by Liev Schreiber. It's funny, Liev Schreiber is in this movie only seen on, like, a little television screen.
Yeah.
Being, like, he doesn't. I'm like, cool, you got Liev Schreiber to do literally nothing. He has, like, a bigger role within, like, 2 and 3, but that's beside the point. But she was having an affair with a young Liev Schreiber, so get it, girl.
Get it.
And, like, Sydney had, like, seen him leave the house, or believe she did. She saw somebody leaving wearing, so I think Sydney also, the jacket, and also, I'm pretty sure she discovered her mom dead, which is in and of itself also another level of horrifying. So just get over it after a year, like, ugh, you know? So she actually, like, fingers him and gets him sent to prison, but then we have the whole character of Gail Weathers, played by Courtney Cox,
played so literally
just, like,
well.
At this point, a tabloid journalist. She's just, like, she has her, like, tabloid, but she's wrote a book that, like, sort of made her a little more legit about the fact that, like, Cotton Weary did not commit this murder and that Sydney is wrong. So, like, you have that dynamic between Sydney and Gale that's really interesting because, like, there's probably a part of Sydney that, like, she, as it unravels, like, you know, she even says to her, she's like, you're not so sure yourself, are you? So she's been doubting hers, and you sort of have Gale now pushed back into this Woodsboro because there's, like, new murders a year later, you know?
Right. And that's the thing, yeah. And it's, I love trashy, like, tabloid type reporter. Like, I love that character. Mm-hmm. And Gale, like, she, Courtney Cox plays her well. That's so great. Because, like, Courtney Cox already has kind of that, like, annoying energy, like, that, like, type A, like, oh, I'm going to push. So, like, there is something really satisfying. Like, there's that part where Sydney punches her in the face. And, like, it's, it, again, very satisfying. But, yeah, so, like, the thing is, like, all of the, it's basically, like, these teen girls are getting murdered. Mm-hmm. Although then randomly, like, the principal gets murdered.
Yeah, so it starts off with Drew Barrymore, and then her boyfriend is there and also gets murdered. So you have the two of them. Yeah, and then, like, the next, what did Henry Winkler do? He seemed like a delightful, like, principal. Like, he was like, we're gonna have, like, he would come over and he's like, we're canceling, like, school. We're gonna have a curfew because I want you all to be safe. Like, he's like, remember, your principal loves you. He, like, straight threatens these two because, of course, there's also two white assholes. Of course, this whole movie is just all white people. But, like, if this movie was made today, like, Scream 5 is gonna be totally different, like, diversity-wise, which is great. This is 100. I don't think there's a person of color in this movie. Like, at all. So you have these two dumbass white guys that thinks it's going to be fun to, you know, walk the halls with, like, you know, with the scream face masks. And he's like, he takes them and he's like, you're expelled. And they're like, that's not fair. He's like, oh, fair. And he, like, takes scissors and he, like, threatens to, like, gut them. And I was like, this dude is, like, an awesome principal. Like, why? Why the principal? Was it just like, oh, here's Henry Winkler. Like, we're just going to kill Henry Winkler.
Well, because, like, it definitely didn't seem like he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Because, like, he just, like, dies at the school. I don't know, like,
he seemed like it was they sought out to kill him,
right? And, like, yeah, so it just, like, I remember thinking that was a little weird, although you get, like, in that school scene you get, like, the nod to Freddy Krueger because, like, the janitor is like,
that's Wes Craven, actually.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's Wes Craven in the Freddy hat and sweater.
And the sweater, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny. That's his Hitchcock moment.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, no, so, like, he's at the school and he's just, like, in his office or whatever, and then he gets brutally killed.
And it's like, okay. I mean, and the only thing that I can think that why it's there is, like, we get that, and then later when there's, like, a house party, because, like, you know, safety in numbers, you know, Randy answers the phone at Stu's house and he finds out that the principal has been, like, and then they hung him from the goalpost. So not only did they murder him, they, like, put him on display, like how they put Casey on display. And then everybody at that house is like, well, dude, let's go cut him down. So everybody's, like, drunk as shit, gets in the cars and leave. And so now you're, like, literally left with only, like, your handful that, like, you've been following this whole time are now, like, left. Like, you have Sydney, Randy, like, Stu, Billy, and then, like, Tatum's already dead at this point, but, like, you have only this small cohort left here. So I don't know if that, by killing the principal, it gives you an out to why people would leave this.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Like, that's, like, maybe the only thing that I could come up with. It was like, well, how do we get all of these people out of this house party? And the house party serves a massive purpose, but it makes more sense that, like, instead of having to kill, like, 15 to 20 extra people,
right,
it's like, how do we get them to leave?
Right.
It's like, oh, we'll get them to go cut down the principal because they're drunk as hell and they think this is going to be funny. Let's go cut them down, like, off of the goalpost. And it's like, so, like, I don't know. It at least gets them to leave.
Yeah. And, yeah, so Rose McGowan's character, Tatum, that death is awful because she, like, gets cornered in the garage, like, while she's, like, trying to get beers. Nope. And, like, she tries.
She had to have her hard nipples in her tight white shirt because, of course, You had to have that. It's a horror movie. It's like, he didn't do, like, explicit nudity, but he's still like, we've got to exploit the boobs a couple times.
Just give me, like, a little bit of nipple, and it'll
That's
be fine.
That's what we needed. Like, nipple through the shirt, you know? So outside of, yeah, she goes to, and she does the whole, I'll be right back, like, almost, you know? It's like, you know, when you leave, you never come back, and it's true. Tatum left, never came back.
Right. And, like, her death, like, because she tries to, like, get out, like, through, like, the doggy door. In the garage.
Skinny girl, but really grossly overestimated, like, her skinniness.
Yeah. It's like, dude, you still have a butt. Like, come on. Yeah. You're not going to be able to
do this. You got a good way through it, but...
But shit.
Yeah.
And so then, like, so the killer, like, you know, starts to open the garage door, and it, like, snaps her neck.
Oh, and it's nasty, too.
Yeah. I mean, granted, like, I guess that's, like, the least shitty death, because, like, I would assume, like, it happened quickly.
Yeah, it was, it, like, she wasn't, like, true. Like, if anybody... Yeah, it happened instantly as opposed to,
to, like,
know,
these people violently getting, like, gutted and, like, stabbed.
Yeah, I think Drew Barrymore maybe takes the cake for, like, the worst death. Because right. That was brutal. But what's really interesting to me about all of this is, like, this movie is rated R, obviously. But Wes Craven had to take it in, like, countless times to get from an NC-17 rating down to an R rating. And, like, the thing that's funny is that I think he cut out, like, seconds of gore. They were like, oh, yeah, just cut, like, a couple seconds of gore. We'll just give you an R rating. And I was like, what the fuck? But if you put it against today's standards of gore, this movie is not gory.
No, not so much. Not so much. It really is, like, there's a lot of, like, suggestion. Mm-hmm. And, like, you get, like, a quick flash of, like, something looking gross. Like, we're not, like...
Yeah, true.
It's not like, you know, the Rob Zombie kind of thing where, like, you're just staring at something nasty for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's like, let's see, like, or torture porn, like, type things with, like, Hostel or all those things where it's just like, oh, this isn't even scary. There's no scary element to this. You're just trying to, like, make me disgusted. Whereas there's so many scary elements to Scream.
Right. Because I would say, like, the suggestion of violence is actually, like, way more scary than the actual violence. Like, yeah, obviously, like, once it gets violent, that is also terrifying. But, like, there's something so scary about just, like, Tate, like, being, like, you know, like, oh, shit, like, there's a person right in front of the door.
Yeah.
Ugh. And, like, truly, there's still, like, a good amount of, like, there's a good amount of, like, space between them. But, like, the threat of that violence is terrifying.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So then basically at this point, yeah, so Jamie Kennedy's character, Randy, is drunk as shit. And
protect Randy at all costs.
Yeah, poor Randy. But he's just so like bad. Just like watching Halloween and he's just like, dude, come on, just turn around, you know, come on. And like literally the killer is like right behind him.
Yeah, like that mo, and he's about to get it, and then there's a scream, and like the scream takes them out of it, so like it saves Randy in that moment. But yeah, it's so funny, and he's the one that like what I love about this movie is the first time it's truly meta. Like they know the rules of like a horror movie, like these things are supposed to happen, and he explains drunk as hell. Like, all the rules, like, you can't drink, you can never have sex, you can never say, look, I'll be right back, because you know you're not coming back. And I love when he explains these rules. Like, the film nerd knows everything, and he's like, oh, yeah, this is how you survive the horror movie.
Right. And then at this point, so, Sydney has had sex. Like, she gives in, basically, because, like, I guess at first...
So well, stupidly.
Yeah, right? Like, it's just like... I get it. Skeet Ulrich is hot.
Skeet, like, he's still hot today, too.
No, he is, for sure.
I get it, but, like, come on.
Like, use your brain. Come on. Like, because, like, there's the thing. It's like, so, like, halfway through the movie, like, you know, she, like, suspects that it might be her boyfriend. And so, like, he...
For good reason.
Yeah, for very good reason. And also, too, like, he ended up being right.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it a little bit more, but she was right.
Yeah, she was.
But, because, like, there's that whole scene earlier where Sydney is being, like, chased by the killer, and then all of a sudden her boyfriend shows up.
And he has a cell phone.
Yeah, the cell phone, like falls out of his pocket.
And, of course, this is 96, so, like, people didn't really have cell phones. It's not just like, oh, my boyfriend comes in, he hugs me, and his cell phone falls out. You're like, oh, cool, like, you have a cell phone. Like, people didn't have cell phones then.
And because, like, people didn't really have cell phones, this one is, like, a brick. It's, like, mm-hmm. the biggest thing you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's, like, literally just, like, a rectangle.
Yeah, it's, like, no wonder that thing fell out of your pocket. Like, that thing is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, oh. You know, he, like, so there's, like, the whole thing where, like, basically she, like, I guess, I don't want to say forgives him, but is just like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I was wrong.
Because he has, like, an alibi. The dad's like, but then they're like, oh yeah, but you snuck out for like a little bit, and he's like, you went out. Oh yeah, the whole thing, like, oh, you went out the night before, like, I didn't know that. And I'm just like come on, like, this kid has like really no alibi, but you're just like, and it's true. I love when he was like, what I find sort of like I always try to piece together is like when we find out that it's like a Billy and Stu combo, it's like who killed who. So like there's that point in the movie like where he says to the sheriff, I didn't kill anybody. And maybe he's not lying at this point.
At that point,
the
no,
only
it's
people
true.
That are dead are at this point, I'm pretty sure, are, I think Henry Winkler might already be dead, and then of course Casey and Stu. And I always think that Casey and her boyfriend Steve. So Casey and Steve are dead, and I believe that Stu killed Casey and Steve. So like, and so at this point, like, he might literally not be lying. Like, I didn't kill anybody.
No, it's true. No, I actually, well, I mean, he did, he killed the mom.
Oh, that's true. He, yeah,
so there's that.
He killed the mom. Yeah, but in this moment. Like,
yeah, well, like, in this anniversary of the death, like, yeah. He might, maybe hasn't.
Imagine, like, murdering your girlfriend's mother and then living the year of, like, still, like, with this person. Like, clearly he, like, went to the funeral and wake with her, helped her, like, grieve, but, like, he also is the sociopath that caused all this pain.
It's wild, wild. But, yeah, so basically, yeah, that's what we find out. We find out that Stu and, why am I blanking on his
Billy.
Name? Yeah, and Billy. Oh, man. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Billy.
Billy
yeah,
so. No, it's a psycho.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. Again, like, there are a lot of, like parallels to Psycho, like, you know, with this movie, for sure. So, yeah, basically with the whole, like, Billy and Stu, like, they're, like, they mastermind this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it's such a, again, it's a stupid reason. Like, I guess, like, mm-hmm. I guess, like, the mom had, like, had, like, a little affair with, like, the dad, with Billy's yeah. dad. So we find out, yeah.
The mom to leave, or he believes that the only reason that Laurie Metcalf, because as we find out in the second movie, it's Laurie Metcalf, like, okay. The only reason that Laurie Metcalf left, you know, in his mind, he believes it's because, you know, his dad was having an affair. I mean, Sydney's mom got around. No two ways about it. She did. And every right to, if she wants to. It sucks that she was married while also being promiscuous, but it's not as if Sydney's mom sleeping with his dad is the reason why his mom left. And I love how it's just, like, because he's such a mama's boy that, like, his mom leaving, like, hurts him so much rather than, like, your dad fucked your girlfriend's mom. Like, he doesn't seem to be mad. Like, his dad lives. You'd think he would have killed his dad in this movie at some point.
No, he doesn't. It's all, like, the Prescott family. Like, he's obsessed yeah. with, like, tearing this family apart. And it's so, again, it's like, these dudes are just so shitty. And, like, their motivations are shitty. And then, like, you know, like, then they're just like, oh, we're gonna, like, make it look like, you know, we're gonna kill all of you guys and we're gonna, like, you know, mess ourselves up so that, like, it looks like we've survived this. And yeah. I will say that's probably the most squeamish I got.
Yo,
where you're seeing them, like, stab each other in the sides mm-hmm. and you're just like, oh, God. Right, and, like, right, Matthew Lillard is, like, you know, he's already, like, pretty high energy, but, like, at this point, it's like he's done, like, 3 lines of coke and he's like screaming all over the place and he's like sweating
oh and like my God. Acting he's so like really crazy bleeding. And he's like, I think you cut me deep, man.
Yeah, he's like, all like, oh, it might be too much.
Yeah, oh God. And it's so funny, it's like, I love when, you know, there's sort of like, there's a standoff between Billy, Stu, and Sydney. And, you know, like, that's when we learn the reason why, like, the motive for the killings from Billy's standpoint. But it's funny when she says, and, like, why are you doing this, Stu? And he's like, peer pressure, I'm far too sensitive. Like, you know, like, that's his, like, excuse for, like, I'm just gonna kill my girlfriend and my ex-girlfriend and her new boyfriend, you know, because, like, for the fuck of it.
Yeah. It's like, dude, Matthew Lillard, like, you, there in no universe should you be getting these, like, tens.
Like, oh, no, shit. Like, he's getting so much play. He got Drew Barrymore and Rose McGowan at, like, one, like those are his high school girlfriends in this world.
This is crazy. This is crazy. And then you kill both of them? Like, yeah. Who are you going to find after this? This is insane. Yeah.
Or what did Billy say to Stu to, like, kind of get him on board to be like, oh, let's just, like, fucking kill people. Like,
right. I feel like maybe, like, it's one of those things where, like, maybe they used to always talk about it growing up. Like, maybe, yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, well, you know, like, sometimes you'll just, like, test each other when it's like comes to saying like messed up things and then like this whole thing happens and then finally like maybe I don't know like the, yeah it seems like they must have just like talked themselves into it, although like it does seem to be like it's like oh because like we need to like punish these women kind of like that's the whole thing with like Sydney's mom. It's like, oh, you know, we're gonna like punish this whore, like, you know, she ruined these lives. Oh, look at your ex-girlfriend. She, like, cheated on you. She, like, ruined your life. Like, we're gonna ruin her life.
That's a good, sort of started picking off everybody that's ruined lives. But then also, you know, because you have to throw in a couple extra kills. They kill Tatum pretty much for no reason. They kill Henry Winkler for no reason. And they also make Sydney's dad, because he's conveniently going on a business trip, they make him the red herring this whole time.
Right. Like, you think it might be Sydney's dad, because, he's gone and, like, nobody can get a hold of him. Yeah,
and it's like Dewey's maybe the worst deputy ever.
Oh,
like,
my God.
The only reason he happens upon Neil Prescott's car is because, like, he and Gail were, like, frolicking in the woods, you know, and they're, like, they had their makeout moment, and he, like, turns his head, and, like, she turns her head, and she's like, what is that? And, like, sees, like, the car there, so then he starts to put pieces together to be like, well, maybe it's not Neil.
Like, right, but, like, still takes him, like, far too long, because, again, this is David Arquette, and he plays an idiot so well.
Yes.
Just, like...
like, adorable, adorkable, like...
Yeah, adorkable. So, basically, you know, that you have that final standoff, though, where it's, like, Billy, Stu, and Sydney, and, you know, finally, like, they get, like, the better, or she gets the better of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's that really funny line where she, like, she's, like, talking about how she's, like, calling the cops or, like, the cops are on their way or something like that. And, like, Matthew Lillard freaks out where he's like, oh, my God, my parents are going to be so pissed.
Oh, my God, my dad is so mad at me. Yeah. He's, like, crying.
He's like, and, like, he looks so ugly when he's, like, crying and he's got, like, snot everywhere.
Oh, my God, yeah. And then I think one of my favorite lines, and it was, like, ad-libbed, is where, like, she's on the phone with Billy, and he's, like, getting pissed. He's like, where the fuck are you? And he just fucking throws the phone, and he hits Matthew Lillard, and I guess that wasn't supposed to happen. And you just hear Matthew Lillard, you hit me with the phone, dick!
Like, see, I do love moments like that. You do, like... you know, you rehearse things so much and sometimes the best stuff is like things that go wrong or, you know, like an ad lib that just like makes something like so much better. Like, I love stories like that.
Yeah, I think he also ad libbed when like he can't find the gun. And he's like, Houston, we have a problem. And he's like tapping, like, the gun's gone. Like, they are pretty inept, which is like, again, they're like 17 or they're supposed to be like 17. So you wouldn't expect them to be like perfect at murder. Like,
right. Or like, they're clearly like actually pretty good at murdering. But it's like they're still like very bumbling, like idiot kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, there's sort of like the big ending where it's like, you know, you think that, you know, they stab Dewey and you think Dewey's dead. And apparently Dewey was supposed to totally 100% die. And test audiences liked him, that they were like, oh, okay. So they had to go and film that like final scene of him like giving the thumbs up, like on a stretcher going into an ambulance. Because like they were like, no, Dewey can't die. Dewey literally gets fucking annihilatedly stabbed in Scream 2 and still fucking lives. Like, this dude, I do not know why Dewey just keeps living.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, again, he just like bumbles his way through these movies.
Yeah, like he gets like, I'm pretty sure he gets stabbed in like all of them. And he's just like, you know what? I'm living.
Well, it's like your insides are probably like macaroni and cheese. Yeah. Like, it's like, it's crazy. The internal bleeding is probably terrible.
Yeah, so he's like, you think he's dead. And then we think Gail is dead because Gail's, it's, you know, because she's like trying, she's there because she's trying to get like an inside look at like what's going on with these teenagers. So her and her cameraman, Kenny, R.I.P. Kenny, Kenny gets his like throat slit. Oh, poor Kenny. And then like, so she's like, she takes the like the van that they were with and like she drives it down into like a little ravine and hits a tree. So you sort of think, oh, she might be dead. And now it's just sort of like the killer and Sydney, you know. And then like Randy, you're like, where the fuck did Randy go at one point? And then you sort of have this moment where it's like Sydney is like freaking out because she's being chased by the killer, but she doesn't think it's Billy. She actually at this moment thinks that Billy is innocent because she sees Billy get stabbed. And but like, and so she thinks, oh, okay, it's not him. Now somebody's chasing me. So now it's down to Billy and Randy. So the two of them like show up and Randy's like, he's a fucking killer. Like, what the fuck? It's not me. It's not me. And then she's like, fuck the both of you, which is great. And
right.
She fucking shuts the door in their faces. And then Billy like stumbles down the stairs. He like falls a little bit. And because her guard is down, she allows him to like, he's like, oh, give me the gun. And then he turns the gun on her and you're like, holy.
Yeah, man. That was crazy.
Oof. But this is my question. So like, and then we find out like, she's like, holy shit. And, like, she turns and she runs right into Stu. And he has, like, the voice changer. He's like, surprise. And then, but my question is, like, Randy, like, so when she shut the door on them, did Randy just run away and Stu was like, oh, I'll just get him later?
Right.
Like, but then Randy shows up again. So, like, Randy didn't go far. My ass would have been, like, in Timbuktu at that point.
Yeah, no. I'm like, I'm goodbye. Sorry. I would call the cops, but I am not going anywhere back near that house.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's so funny. Yeah, it's like, right. Sorry, Sydney. Fuck this.
Yeah, I'm gone. I'm peacing the
bye.
Yeah, and then so she and then Randy gets shot, but of course he gets shot in the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And he has that great line with, I've never been so happy to be a virgin in my life. Because like the whole virgin, the adage of virgins never die. So he thinks that's why he survived.
Right, right.
And it's great.
So yeah, so then, you know, she finally does like get the best of Billy and like kills him. And there's even that part though, you know, where Randy is just like, oh, you know, you gotta do it again because they always come back to life. And he does, like, he does that thing where he, like lunges, yeah. And then she, like, shoots him in the head.
Like, right between the eyes, and she's like, not in my movie.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah! And it's like,
yeah, and it ends with, like, Gail being camera ready.
Of course.
After, like, being, like, attacked, being like, okay, we've gotta go to camera, like, we've gotta go to production on, like, what just happened here. I have the inside scoop. And as much as I love the movie as it became a trilogy and became, I don't know, what, a quadrology now into like a whatever the
five. Now it's just a straight up a franchise.
Yeah, before I was totally fine with it sort of being standalone. Like the Scream works as being a standalone. Like
yeah.
The movie did not need a sequel. It works. It doesn't beg for a sequel too, like some films do. Like this movie doesn't beg for that at all.
No. And like I will say like I haven't seen the second and third one in probably years. Like, I don't really remember them. But, like, I also don't, like, they weren't bad. So, like, the fact that, like, there's not a bad one in the bunch is actually, like, kind of surprising, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's usually never that way.
I go 1, 4, 2, 3, but I still think I have a soft spot for 3 over 2 just because of how campy it is. But I do, like, understand that 2 is probably objectively better. But I love the campiness of how it's like, oh, we're making a movie about, like, you, like that, a franchise of films based on the Woodsboro murders have, like, called Stab now exists.
Yeah.
Sort of Sydney's, like, in Hollywood as, like, a consult.
Right.
It gets super convoluted. The third one gets crazy convoluted. Like, at least in the second one, you sort of have Laurie Metcalf there as being like, you killed my son. And it's like, bitch, you left your son.
Yeah,
like,
where were you? You're the reason. You're the reason for all of this.
Yeah, and then, of course, since for some reason they have to be like, because Laurie Metcalf is this, like, diminutive, like, woman that, like, we have to have a man be part of this to do the killing, you know? Like,
right.
They rope in Timothy Oliphant. Like, okay. Like, you know, he, like, was a fan of, like, Laurie Metcalf, like, the story, and she, like, brings him in, and you're like, okay, well, you're like, all right, since Laurie Metcalf apparently can't handle this killing, like, we have to have Timothy Olyphant. Stupid. And then yeah. The second one, it's all a single killer the whole time. It's Jennifer Garner's ex-husband,
Scott Foley. Yeah.
Sexy. That woman bagged two hot men. But she's a hot woman herself, so, like, it makes sense. But, yeah, Scott Foley is the killer. And the whole thing is that he's Sydney's fucking half-brother, because we learn way too much about her mom. We learn that the mom is, like, a failed actress.
Yeah.
And had, like, an affair and had an illegitimate son and then moved to Woodsboro, married a guy, and had Sydney. And now he's just been seething with fucking jealousy his whole life.
Right.
Like, oh, dude, get the... So, literally, all of these movies are about the fragile male ego.
Right.
And a revengeful mom. You know, like, that's why I think I liked the fourth one, because while, you know, you have the man roped into it with Rory Culkin's character, like, the Randy is a killer and he's gonna, like, quote unquote, get the Sydney character. Emma Roberts is, like, Sydney's cousin and she's just jealous of
Sydney.
No,
Sydney's, she wants the, like, attention.
Yeah. And I love, like, I kind of love that.
No, that's,
like,
a great... That's a great reason. I mean, not a great reason, but, like, that being so simple is what makes it great.
Yeah. And that one kind of, I think that, I remember being, like, kind of shocked that it was, like, Emma Roberts, because we believe she's the final girl. And when the final girl's the killer, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So you're like, no, Sydney's been the final girl this whole time. Like, and she's never not going to be the final girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't try to think there's going to be another one.
Right. So what would you say is your, like, batshit moment in this movie, full of batshit moments? Because I will say there's a lot of shocking scenes.
I think it might honestly be, we were talking about it earlier, when they start stabbing each other.
Right.
Ooh. Because I was just, like, not expecting it at first, and I don't think anybody was really expecting it. And, like you say, it might be the most grotesque, because we spend time with it more. Like you said, the other things are sort of flashes.
Yeah.
This is, like, we're actually seeing them stabbing each other. We're seeing, like, the blade go in, so you're kind of, like, cringing. So, yeah, that might be my batshit moment.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it that specific moment, but when Billy turns the gun on her, I think, because I mean, the thing is, like, we've gone on this roller coaster with Billy and Sydney this whole time, mm-hmm. because, like, we know, she's like, oh, you're suspicious. Like, I don't, you're like, you're probably the killer. And then he spends a lot of the movie, like, trying to convince her that he's not the killer. Yeah. And then he does convince her. And then literally, like, 20 minutes after they have sex, then he, like, turns on her.
Yeah. Woo, talk about regretting your first time.
Yeah, sorry, it's like, Sydney. Shit. It's like, too bad, jeez. I mean,
gets me is that, like, nobody pays attention to the fact that, like, and if you look at it, he has no slashes at all on his shirt. Just, like, red. Like, there's just, like, fake blood there. And he's like, what did he say? Like, corn syrup, because, like, used for pig's blood in Carrie.
Right.
You know? And it's like, oh, okay, cool. But, yeah, if you look, like, at his shirt, there's absolutely, like, no gashes on it. So, like, I know, like, in the heat of the moment, you're not necessarily, like, looking for, like, things. But, like, she didn't, like, look at his shirt at all and be like, dude, there are absolutely no cuts in that shirt.
Yeah, right? No, absolutely. yeah. Well, and obviously we're not going to put this on the garbage meter because this is like a fucking good ass movie.
We just love this movie and wanted to talk about
it. No, I think you're right. Like, it is definitely like in my top 10 like favorite movies because it's so good and it's so fun. And it's like definitely like a good Halloween, like an October movie for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, guys, that is this week's episode with Scream. Again, one of our favorite movies. Mm-hmm. So thanks for listening. You know, I always say it, rate us, review us. Like if you guys have any movie requests, like just let us know. That's what we did with Bobby. Like he was the one who, you know, suggested Slumber Party Massacre, and we had a great time with that. So we're always looking for suggestions.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you again for everybody that listens. We greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Bye.
See ya. Sweet, sweet.